Today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. And when we hear the word king, certain things might come to mind, like a golden crown or majestic, expensive-looking robes and clothes. We might think of a throne in which this king sits upon. We might also think of many servants at the disposal of the king, doing his will. And yet, when we look at our gospel passage today, what we are shown about a king, our king, Christ the King, doesn't seem to have those things going on for him. Instead, at the moment right before this passage, Jesus was sent by the Jewish leaders, the ones who were opposed to him, the Pharisees, the scribes, who were jealous of him. They had captured him and brought him to Pilate. And he had been beaten during their own interrogation. Jesus looks more like a criminal than a king. And when the Jews presented Jesus to Pilate, in order for them to have Pilate be convinced that he needed to be crucified, they listed a number of charges against Jesus. And one of them was that he was making himself out to be a king. Well, of the charges that they presented, that's really the only one that Pilate cared about, because that's the only one the Roman Empire would be interested in. Is he going to be competition for our earthly rule? Is he going to cause an insurrection or a rebellion? And so Pilate will ask Jesus about this charge, but the other ones were clearly being made out of jealousy for Jesus, who was so much more popular than these Pharisees and scribes and other religious leaders who were opposed to our Lord. And so he asks, "Are you king of the Jews?" Very interesting answer that Jesus gives. It follows Jewish rhetoric. He answers a question with a question. Jesus says, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" It can kind of seem like, didn't you just hear his question? It was kind of like a yes or no answer. But Jesus says this other thing. It's really interesting that he does that. But he's having Pilate check his motives. I mean, Jesus is God and God knows everything. So Jesus knows why Pilate is asking this question. But he wants Pilate to think about why he's asking this question. And so he asks Pilate, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" And Pilate gets irritated by this question. But he's straightforward in his answer. "I am not a Jew, am I?" To us, that might sound confusing. What does that have to do with Jesus' question? Well, it has everything to do with it. Because Jesus is asking him if he's asking out of his own personal devotion, an interest in Jesus as the Messiah. Because King of the Jews is a phrase that's used for the coming Messiah. And Pilate's aware of that. And so Pilate's pointing out that he's not a Jew. He's not interested in this religion, in the Messiah. He just wants to know, are you going to be an earthly king? Are you going to be competition for the Roman Empire? And so Pilate is straightforward when he says, "I am not a Jew, am I?" Meaning that he's a Gentile and he doesn't care about the coming Messiah. But he is interested about Jesus' situation. And so he says, "Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" So he wants to know, like, why are they so angry? Why did they beat you? Why did they send you to me? Because it seems like their charges are baseless. And Jesus, seeing that Pilate is being honest and isn't really interested in this whole Messiah thing, kind of answers that first question about him being a king. He says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Jesus is revealing that he's not competition for the Roman Empire, that his kingdom isn't a worldly kingdom. It won't have borders. It doesn't have a castle or a throne. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is one where he reigns in the hearts of all of the believers. He's pointing out that he's not a threat. And Pilate catches on to Jesus mentioning a kingdom, and he says, "Then you are a king?" And Jesus answers, "You say I am a king." Another way to rephrase what Jesus said is, "I am a king as you say. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus is saying these things about the truth to help Pilate refocus. Like, know the truth. That these leaders, these ones who are seeking to condemn him, their claims are baseless. Know the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is a king, but not an earthly king. Know the truth that truth in itself, God is truth, and Jesus is God. So Jesus is bearing testimony to himself, trying to help Pilate recognize who it is that's standing before him. And that those who are lovers of the truth, those who seek the truth, those who want the truth, will recognize it in him. Our passage ends here, but the next thing that happens, if we continue with the verses in Scripture, Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" So it seems like Jesus' efforts are somewhat lost upon Pilate. But not entirely, because immediately after that, he goes back out and he declares that there is no fault, there is no guilt, there is no crime that he sees in Jesus. He knows the truth, that Jesus is innocent, and so he seeks to set Jesus free. We know that Jesus is our King, and that this King that we have came to serve. He doesn't look like a king as he's being interrogated, as he's being prepared for his passion and death and his resurrection. His glory that we would typically associate with kings is revealed in our first reading in the vision that Daniel had received, which is a vision of the future. Jesus, after being resurrected from the dead and ascending into heaven, receives the glory that is due to him by the Father. But, as far as our king, what kind of king is he? He's a king that came to serve. He's a king that loves us so much. He's willing to undergo his passion and his death and his resurrection to make a gift of himself on the cross to God the Father out of love for all of us, so that this perfect, infinite gift of love that's being made on behalf of all of humanity can make up for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time. This is a king that loves us so much, he believes that each and every one of us are worth dying for. A king who cares about us so much, he would go through such suffering and even death. We heard about this in our second reading, where it says that Jesus freed us from our sins by his blood, a reference to his passion, death, and resurrection. And when we recognize this tremendous and awesome love, this free gift he didn't have to give us, but chose to do it out of love for us, that can help us be filled with gratitude. I mean, imagine if a friend or a family member saw that you were in danger and were willing to die to save you. Wouldn't that fill you with gratitude? Wouldn't that fill you with love and concern for such a person? This amazing and awesome gift that Jesus has given us, a revelation of his love. It helps us to desire to want to give ourselves back, to give in return, out of that gratitude. And so, how do we do that? How do we give ourselves back? How do we say thank you to the Lord? Well, every Mass, we celebrate the Eucharist. And the Eucharist comes from a Greek word, eucharistia, which means thanksgiving. Every Mass, we are to come and to offer ourselves in union with the offering of Christ, which is the offering of Christ on the cross, made present to us at the altar through sacramental signs, This offering of gratitude, this offering of thanksgiving for that sacrifice that he did for us, that we may receive those graces from that sacrifice, that we may better recognize that love that he has for us, that we may be better converted and made holy by the grace that is given to us. And so, coming to Mass regularly, making this gift of our time and of our attention, is one of the ways that we can express our gratitude to the Lord for this tremendous and awesome love that he has for us. Praying daily to keep that relationship with the Lord strong is another way that we can make a gift of ourselves, a gift to the Lord. Regularly participating in the sacraments, in addition to the celebration of the Mass, going to confession, having our sins wiped away. The Lord desires to forgive us. He's eager to forgive us, that we may be in right relationship with him again. And so it's good for us to go to confession at least once a year, to receive that mercy, that grace that awaits us, to draw us closer to the Lord, to make a gift of our time in the presence of the Lord who comes to us in the Eucharist in adoration. We have adoration regularly available throughout the week in the chapel, to just pop in and say hello to the Lord, to be in his presence, to make that gift of yourself through time and attention to our God. It's another way of saying thank you. It's another way of our gratitude being poured out to the Lord. But we can also say thank you to the Lord. We can also express our love and our gratitude through service to others, by getting involved at the parish. You might have noticed that when you came to your pews, that the pews had some stewardship booklets at the ends of them. And it lists the different groups and organizations in our parish, opportunities to get involved, opportunities to be at service to others, ways in which we can say thank you, ways in which we can give back to this King who loves us so much. And so I encourage you to take a copy of those booklets, to look through the list of different groups and organizations, to find one in which you can get involved with, and to share your time and your talent through service to others, and through others to service to our King, who believes that you are worth dying for. So let us take a moment to consider how we can better give of ourselves, of our time, our attention, our talent to the Lord, as we prepare to meet him in the most holy Eucharist.